This thing again, or what do you want to do?
April 10th, slip-throw meeting.
Eric, I haven't done it the first time, so why don't you go over?
So Gary sent this out.
Everybody read it.
Of course. You're like, what is it?
Why did I do so much work?
That's your job.
So I guess maybe to frame this, last year when we had those record numbers, it was mayhem. In the ladder, by the way.
Mayhem. Totally.
I've got the pen to prove it. Really? It's mayhem.
Yeah, Mr. May. Oh, you got a pen to prove it?
I got a pen
you
for
a
that.
Yeah.
Was that from Burning Burn?
Yeah, Al Jazeera.
Well, we're going to resolve mayhem here. I should have put this the mayhem resolution.
That's right. You should have.
New label.
So what we did was we got to the point where we did a flow test of 3 CFS for like 2 days.
Yeah.
And you've got some of that information in here. I think it was 3 days. And what we were trying to figure out was if we could draw fish into the North Shore ladder at the Dalles because the East ladder was packed. It was mayhem. And
oh God, that's right.
Prior to that discussion, there was also a biological trigger that we use for Bonneville Dam and go to split flows.
Yeah.
And that one, we still haven't tracked down who came up with it, but it's nobody around this table.
I tried Beck. It wasn't Beck.
It wasn't Beck. I remember it was.
It's got to be Basham.
It was early 2000s, and
it wasn't Cluxton.
It was early 2000s, but Cluxton might have been working with Basham on that.
And it was a dartboard.
No, we were much more sophisticated than that.
So anyway, there's a biological trigger, and then the question is, can we do one of those at the Dalles? How are we going to deal with this new run that's forecasted to be above last year's? Do we do a test? What's the options for doing some research? I know there's some tags out there that we can talk about. So that's kind of just why we're having this meeting.
Did you print out the agenda?
I did not.
Oh, so you're just making stuff up.
What agenda? There's an agenda here?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. Well, look at this.
Isn't she full of it?
who came up with this? Whoever wrote this agenda is now leading this meeting.
Okay.
That would be Gary.
Pink cat.
That's yours right there.
That's the pink cat.
All right, so Gary wrote a paper, and then he revised it, and then he revised it, and then he sent it out. And now we're going to go over it and then talk about what the path forward is.
Okay, what I did was I looked at, there was a change form that we put together, I think it was in September of last year, and I picked that up, dusted it off, redid it with some data looking at several things, one of which was the spill test that we did last year with 3KCFS for a few hours in 3 days. There's also a couple of studies done by Robert and company out at Bonneville or out at Dalles back in 93 and 94. And so I kind of reviewed those and summarized what I thought about those as well. How about a show of hands of how many people read what I wrote first? So, okay.
Yeah, I've read it.
So I don't know how much I need to go into it.
I'm not feeling guilty.
I've joined the conference.
The review that I did of the short test last year, I would say, showed that there was a bit of a response by fish. It was 3KCFS. It was short duration. It wasn't by any means what you would say was a slam dunk by any means. But there was, if you look at the graph, at the table that I put together, the graph and the table, you can see the dark shaded ones of the test.
So you see,
and you can see a bit of a response. I mean, I call that a bit of a response. It's not a great response, but what you can't say is that there wasn't a response. I think that's evident. Whether this is, you know, a solid yes is a little questionable because of the data.
Although you can see that if you extend the bounds, I think you did a graph to kind of show it farther, and you also get some of those peaks and valleys of changes in percentages when there was no spill.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I agree.
It's consistent with, right. I mean, the days before and after.
So what was your intent on an expected change? It's just out of, off the top of your head, 10%,
if 3K would actually pull some fish.
Well, let me go on. What we saw in the early years, in 93 and 94, Robert and the rest of us through FPOM back in those days, we were wondering the same thing. Can we move fish on that side? So we looked at, and this was in the off-spill season, which was most of the year back in those days, and we looked at whether or not we could move fish with 4.5 KCFS.
Yeah,
what was the other one?
Well, it was 1.5 for 93 and 4 and 94.
I reviewed it in here. What Robert came up with was there really wasn't a benefit of any of those. We didn't see a significant response in any of those. So I wasn't expecting anything from 3. That we saw, what I saw here is, you know, interesting. But I don't think that it's, you can almost throw it out, really. I mean, it's a little bit of an inkling that there may be a benefit with some spill, but it was short duration. The test was just a few hours a night for those 3 days. So,
and there's, I mean, there are some different conditions at the Dells now with the spill wall.
Right. That's the way we operate. I explained that in here too. That there's differences, but what I kind of still look at that is that 4.5 didn't. You looked at response, and the wall wouldn't have a whole lot of difference. I mean, the wall, you're not spilling enough base for that wall to matter in that condition. So we didn't see a response. I think at the low end, 5K, we're not seeing much. So then I went a little further, and I looked at the data that I had put together on fish passage at the North Platter versus the South Platter over the years since the wall's been in place. And that was in place, been in place since 2010. So I summarized the 2010 data, and that's a figure one in here. And what you get is very low passage at the zero spill level. It's for fall Chinook, it runs about 5%. I think I have a table in here for that too. And the average was 6%. 6% for those 4 years. For the month of September, actually month of September and October. So we have very, very low passage on that side. And then the spill volumes that we get, these are daytime volumes, because that's when fish are moving, go down to about 30, 40 KCFS. That's about as far as we go. So there's a gap in there, and I've got that circle with a question mark in there. That's the gap that we don't know about. But we do know that you get down around 5, it still isn't effective. So I think if we're going to do a test, we want to do a test somewhere between 10 and 30. The thing I added most recently to this was a look at gas, because I knew Agnes was going to whack me between the eyes on that one. So I took a close look at gas generation since the wall's been in. I threw out 11 because 11, the spill levels were way above anything we were thinking about looking at here. But in 10, 12, and 13, we actually did get down into that 30 to 40 KCFS spill range. So looking at the downstream gauge at below the dalles, it looks to me like, and this is kind of a little funky, the graph, I extended the line out just to see where it would go. Probably not the right way to do that, but it kind of shows me that we're going to be in the 25 to 30 KCFS range with 110% TDG. And our waiver, of course, ends at the end of the spill season, so we're going to have to stay under 110. But it does look like we can do a 10 to 25.
What waiver ends at the end of the spill season?
The gas waiver.
I talked with somebody about that. I'm not sure that's necessarily true.
It's not true for Washington. I think that's a...
Might want to check on that.
Agnes?
I know that you've been
August 31st.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, but
it's April 1 through August 31st.
So, yeah, someone might need to know that better in Oregon DEQ at this point.
I'm because they, sure that
they aren't reading it that way. They're reading it through the end of the year. Anyhow,
I don't think so.
It's just a piece of information I heard over the phone about
the waiver expires at the end of the year.
Right.
Yeah, that's the case. So of course, in the process of re-upping that. But that's for next year. That's for 14, yeah. Not for...
Okay.
For 15, not for 14.
Well, yeah, we still have both ways on that early, but that's another year.
Okay, anyhow, sorry.
So, for a skill test, for next year, I think we're going to have to stay in that. I think it's okay. I think we're going to be in that in a range that makes sense. So, I guess the upshot of this is that for a test, what I'm proposing is looking at 10 and 25 or 30 as the bookends on this, just to see if we can get fish to move. We're trying to move 94% of the fish, or some portion of the 94% of the fish that are going to the east ladder over to the north ladder. That's the whole point. So we got a lot of fish to move. Weather fish. Now, in this write-up, towards the end, there's a few paragraphs in there where I talk about the issues that that I don't know about. I think I've covered the things I kind of know about in terms of where fish pass, when they pass, what the flows are, what the gas levels are. I'll look at the research from the past. But there are a few issues that we need to think about. One of those is trigger, of course. When do you start this? When's too many? What's too many fish in the ladder? And the second piece of that, I think, is we're going to have to get a little better idea of whether fish are in the area to be pulled in to the north side. That it would be to look at the radio tracking data, which I haven't had a chance to get into, but I think that I heard a little bit at AFEP last year, a lot of fish are on the Oregon shore. Can we pull those fish over, or are they sort of predestined to go to the east, or do they actually go all the way back around against the flow to the spillway to be pulled into that north shore? So fish have to be in the vicinity to be pulled in. How close are they to the spillway shelf? How far downstream does that flow extend? What's the spill pattern that we would choose? And do you want to have large gate openings, try to push that flow as far as we can, small gate openings to reduce gas as much as possible. openings on that, yeah, Bob, you think you brought up the issue of opening the other gate, running the some extra flow down through and to. So that's another thing. So there's several things we can talk about here. The research, how do we go about the research, block design, do we do
has joined the conference. Blocks?
How many days do we have to research this before the fish are gone? Those are all things I think we need to talk about. So there's plenty of things to work on, but people want to talk about what I put out there as kind of what I assume to be pretty much fact. Talk about that, or we can talk about the questions.
Well, before we do that, we do know what's available for RT gear coming up. And
yeah, so talk to you. Yeah, we have a study going on this year. It's the second year. We don't expect to do another study next year. So we have an opportunity, potentially, if we modify this year's study. And I talked to Chris Goddell about use of the different types of tags we put in jacks and adults and the steelhead and sockeye. And what could we do, maybe? And we're going to have an SRWG discussion to, alter our study. But as far as our overwintering objectives, we have an early run of steelhead and 400 tags that we could rob from the run of steelhead and put those in full chinook potentially. It might require that they do something to the tag, like a little modification to have full chinook retain them better. According to the message Codell left me, he thought jacks would be problematic because the tag is too small. It's not impossible, but it would require a lot more effort for them to modify the tags.
So you have X amount of tags you can't add to that in the contract or what?
Well, yeah, adding tags and adding fish, is going to be a cost of, maybe AFM usage, issue, potentially.
Well, it's already been. Yeah. It's this year's study, so they're already in the process.
It's possible we might be able to change the contract a little bit to talk to Low Tech about that.
Well,
getting different tags.
There's a couple. I don't see this study as having, it's something that we'll be able to use to evaluate, but it really doesn't have a whole lot of bearing on what we do at this point. It's going to be, I hope we can do it, but at the end of the day,
answer questions.
It'll answer questions.
We don't have
in the second. Once we figure this out, but it's not going to help us figure out what we're going to do.
It could.
I think we get some information on you know, approach, you know, north versus south, you know, the ability to retain fish on the north as they approach the north ladder, crop, you know, site switching, and then delay.
Timing of passage and ladder of passage.
So with 400 tags, would that be basically just enough to do like one, basically pick your favorite operation and go?
Well, that's
not unless you can do a block.
No. Right, that's the question that I would need Cottrell to weigh in on. And I think we're looking at about, what, 2 weeks of, you know, where the passage might be concerning.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
We got 2 weeks is the peak period, yeah.
So
I think the tags would really answer if 25,000 is too many fish in the ladder.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. Those are the things.
Delay, yeah.
I don't see it changing what we do this year. We're going to have to decide that without those data. Obviously, it won't happen. So, you know, if we think that doing a treatment test messes up those information, then, you know, that's an issue to think about. But I think what I'd like to see, this is our year. I mean, I don't know what next year is going to bring, but I think we have a big run coming this year that TAC has estimated 800.
It's only a forecast.
Don't hear a lot of confidence.
So we're not.
The Corps warns us about forecasts all the time.
Should we just go?
Only forecasts, and forecasts are often wrong.
Yeah.
Enough to where they change the fishery, though, on the ocean.
Yeah, right.
That's fishery in 22 years, I guess, or?
So, well, 48
hours start.
If the forecast is right, we have a lot of fish coming this year. False Chinook, upriver brights, I think the forecast is 800 some odd thousand, if I remember right. And throw two leaves on top of that. They don't live above the Dallas, but it's going to be a lot of fish in Bonneville. So I think it's wise to have a plan. And given that all those fish are going to pile into that, as they did last year, we had a large run last year, and we still only got about 6% of the fish passing the north side. So it was a mess. It was chaos. It really was.
Man.
So I think we need to have a plan. I think we need to have something put together. I think we need to learn from this for the future, because we all intend to have several million fish coming back in a few years. So.
And we don't know what the carrying capacity of Bonneville ladders are.
Well, we've got we've got the criteria out there: 25,000 after spills, 25,000 on the upside, 20,000 on the downside. That's Bonneville. Bonneville has a lot of ladders.
It
has
two
main ladder systems that are certainly larger and pass a better percentage of fish than we have with the Dalles. So I'd say the Dalles is actually a little more, would be more restrictive. I think it would be fewer because the
small,
you got one ladder.
And they have smaller orifice.
Twenty-four. That's the same as the old ones.
Yeah. Size-wise, they're pretty similar in terms of with the one ladder.
Right.
The problem is that 94%.
What about the exit weir design on the east ladder? It's kind of crowded.
We can get into that too. I mean, there's three areas that I'd be really concerned about at Dalles when we want to think about developing trigger. You don't just look at this thing as a whole. You look at it in constriction points, you look at it evacuation rate of the pools, there are the size of those pools. Turning pool, where you do the 180, that's a problem. The count station is a problem, and the exit is a problem. So they've got three areas there where fish are going to take longer than your normal pools to get through. So we have, you know, Milo Bell and Clay and others that have done work on densities and ladders. And I've looked at their calculations and actually run through some calculations. But you know, what it comes down to is I need to have a better idea how long it takes these fish to get through these individual pools and how many fish. The other thing, too, is the fish don't go evenly all day long. You get a rush of fish early, so you got to consider that. It's not a flat die yield. It's a curved die yield. So you got to look at that. You have to look at those crowding points and the time it takes fish to get through those crowding points in order to develop a density criteria. And what I came up with was looking at the density, I can't remember the details, I haven't looked at that in months or weeks now, but I used the Bell's criteria and I came up with something like 100 some thousand fish. I thought, no, that's not
enough. I came up with like 130,000.
Yeah, that's what I came up with too, and it's like, no, that was 108 is what I came up with, but it was, so that's not right.
A lot.
So, there's other, that's why I'd like to talk to the people who actually developed this thing.
The volume of fish is probably more than.
Yeah, the latter. There's no water. It's just fish.
Yeah.
Well, then also, the NOAA criteria, for every degree above 60, no, 50, I think it is, above 50, you adjust that criteria, that bill criteria by a percentage. That's, you know, that time of the year we're like 70 degrees, and so that'd be a 20-step increase or decrease in the density.
Also, I'd be interested in doing that bill calculation, not just the entire ladder, but those constricted areas,
right.
Just count the fish in there and the volume in there.
I think you have
right.
to. And see if you're,
yeah, see, I was just doing a standard pool, which I think they're 30 feet by about 6 or 7 feet deep, something like that, and the length is 16 or something like that.
Yeah.
It was 18 maybe?
Something like that.
Yeah, I whatever it was, like I say, it's been weeks since I looked at this. But I did a volume calculation, and that's what I came up with.
Yeah, 24 wide, 15 long.
15, 8 feet. Yeah, okay, you came out the same.
That's what I went
with. Yeah, yours is
the
same as mine. It's just, yeah. So, this group needs to come, I mean, first, are we going to go down this road? Or just wait and see what happens and hope for the best?
I'd like to have a plan in place and take advantage of those RT fish.
Well, because even in the ladder, that's going to tell you the weight between those points if you outfit that ladder with those underwater antennas.
Yep. Yeah.
And then if you get the slug of fish this year and less next year or something like that, if you can do more radio tracking or whatever, compare it.
Or you can compare by day, you know,
when it drops off later in the season.
With a high count versus a low count.
Yeah.
Does it delay longer?
Yeah.
And then what was the ultimate success of that fish, you know, based
yeah,
on
that's more
fish we caught that day? Thank you for some information.
Well, yeah, and we can pick this thing to death, too. And I think first thing I would say is it's up the bottom. I mean, there's got to be some override by the eyes on the water. You know, the guy who's out there looking at it, he thinks that this is too dense, that he should have the ability to change something. So what is that? And the counts are going to be the key, really. I mean, are you moving fish or not? It's as simple as that. So I think we need to have a program or something that looks at a tool that he can use, or the trigger. It's either a trigger or it's the eyes in the water, whoever's looking at it, can use to have something to implement. What do? You know, are we all going to sit around with these piles of fish going through the ladder and argue over whether it's 5K, 10K, or 30K, or are we going to have something put into the fish passage plan as an operation if we get into this situation? I think we need to have something.
Well, if we can have some sort of spill flow to test, whatever that amount or amounts will be, I mean, certainly we can look at it with fish counts, but I want to clarify one thing first. Is this 2010 and through 13, or just 2010?
That's the,
it's 10 without 11.
Which one? That is
it says through
10 through 13.
Okay, so that's all included.
Does that 11 in it?
What I see is, you know, zero flow. That's still relatively highly variable there.
It is.
And there's a lot of variability. And then when you get up to the 40K, there's still quite a bit of variability. So. And I still am not trying or anything. I'm just saying, chances are, and I know you know enough about counts as well, they're highly variable. So whatever we get, if we do this just for September, that's only going to give us about, if we do two block tests, that's going to give us like 7 replicates, just the way it works out. It's not a lot. We can go into October, but get different behavior going on in October. We can still do it.
Key is don't lose track of table 2. That's the key.
You can see it.
Don't lose track of that.
Of course,
we did a graph for all of last year because we've been tracking how the spill's been affected in the north. And then I got a bunch of copies here. It should be in the attachment too. For some reason, it didn't come out on the print, but that little box that you see down in the right corner is the so-called test that we did last year. And that was like right on one of those middle peaks.
Yeah, well, I'm not trying to push that spill test did anything. I'm just my
indication.
You know, what I'm saying is that you can't say it didn't.
And but table 2, so you're, what are you saying here? There's 5 to 6, 7% passage on the north typically, right? That doesn't show the variability.
Yeah.
Which
so
I'm
saying
you're not going to see a significant difference because there's so much variability that you're
exactly. That's what I'm getting at. It's going to be hard to measure even if we see an average of six and an average.
Another thing on that is this variability that you're seeing here is maybe because of the spring and summer fish also. And
right, because you've got spill scenarios.
Which his table does indicate that because he's only looking at fall fish with table two.
True.
And that might be why they're so consistent.
I haven't had time to look at all of that.
Yeah, there is the variability is there, but there is definitely a dive. I mean, there's no question about that. It still bounces around a little bit.
And I haven't had a chance to look, and I don't know that we can find out how many replicates we need to get your statistical significance, whatever you want to measure. You get what you get when you do
yeah,
fish counts.
That. I don't know
so
that you're gonna see.
I'm just warning you that we may not be able to say, hey, this is significant or not. It just depends what we're going to get.
Well, I mean, the other thing we can do is say we want to see a 30K spill if we hit a perfect period. Do it. And you guys, VPA will have to go back and say, okay, this is where they're talking about. But,
and we can still look at that compared to previous years. You know, it's not a apples and apples completely, but it's still something that might show if we get, 6-7%, and then all of a sudden we get 15% or something
right.
like that.
It would be statistically...
It might at least show that there could be an indication of some
response.
Right.
So you're up to a doubling of what you've seen. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's what would be... success like
that's a good question. I don't that's really I struggle with that because really what we want to do is relieve crowding. We don't want to just get another 10% over the North Ladder.
So if you get 25,000 a day and you're pulling off another 5-10%, do the math, whatever that is, how much do you still have over there? Maybe you dropped it down to 20K. You still got a lot of fish in there.
Yep.
But yeah.
Well, it's better than nothing though.
I mean, agree.
It might be below some threshold where
yeah, there probably is some super overcrowding where they just go nuts.
So is it the bathymetry that's really driving the preference to the East Ladder? Or?
Yeah, that's a good question. I they seem to move up that
Oregon Shore.
Oregon Shore, yeah. South Shore a little more, although the bathymetry would have you move up the Oregon or the Washington Shore and then across.
Because I thought it was
that's
like
the way
there
that
was like a canyon in there.
Yeah, that's the canyon.
Split.
Yeah.
And that
valley
was on that Oregon side.
Yeah, they might run this valley to that deep trough the canyon she's referring to, and then you have that hooks over before you get to the
right,
spillway.
Right, but that goes past the spillway.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right, but it doesn't get right up to it. I mean, it's a ways away from it still.
Not that far. I mean, the end of the wall is right at the edge of the wall. Look at the end of the wall.
They'd probably be able to sense that if you're...
For just attraction flow, though?
Oh, yeah.
No spill, just attraction flow from the ladder.
No.
No,
yeah, you're right.
No,
that's not
going to
feel that. No, we're going to need more. Spell. That's what. Yeah, that's exactly
saying.
Where we're trying to get. Exactly.
Right.
That's where we're trying to go.
Just curious, because I don't remember the unit priority. Would changing unit priority impact that draw to that East Ladder? Tom shaking his head.
I don't think so. Because it's so far away from.
It's
yeah,
far away.
Yeah, based hour. On that Thalwig.
Everything on that side. You got the south entrance. You got the west powerhouse, east powerhouse. All those are leading on the same ladder. If you get them to the north ladder, the only way to get there is that corner on the north side.
Mm-hmm.
So what I don't know is as those fish approach, if they approach close enough to the shelf, up the spillway shelf, if they could feel that flow at some, whatever the smallest level we can get away with and be attracted to that versus having to go all the way down. So I don't think they're going to come back. They might. We can learn that from radio tracking.
They're searching. Some percentage always search.
And what's the spill pattern you would use?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering too.
That's a challenge.
I put that in there as a question. We developed a spill pattern for problems, but that was with the juvenile spill volume, not for something like this in mind. So the question I would have, and I really the right way to go about this, I'd say it, but the right way to go about it is to go down to Erdy, work on that model, and play around with big jets versus small, and see what you can come up with. You could probably get away with less spill with a bigger opening, but there's a point there where you're going to blow out that entrance, and so you got to be careful.
And also,
a couple bays over.
Right.
Would you want your spill jet to go towards the east shore a little bit to try to pick up, intercept some of those fish? Or
right, because it's not a juvenile passage issue.
Right, so you don't have to worry about
throw those rules out the window. And, and everything we looked at down there was juveniles in mind. Looking at it,
you go to
from an adult standpoint.
Right, you're talking getting on the other side of the wall.
Well, not necessarily. Just, you know, using the flow coming out of certain spillways to kind of pull the jet. Yeah.
Well, you can use the wall to help in the wall.
Right.
Pull it. The jet.
I would want it to spill inside the wall inside just because of the water entrances on that.
It should be like U's instead of bay ones.
Yeah, you don't want it inside the wall. Right.
No, you're right. But maybe just right off the end of it, you know, you try to get in there. Tip of the wall.
Three walls out there.
That's the whole turn.
We have a wall between one and two, between four and six and seven and eight and nine. So we've got from with Watson, things to play around with.
Patriot,
there, but
freedom,
I don't know what the best pattern would be, and it's something that
you
can talk to Lori. Really think?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh no,
Lori Ebner, she worked on that a lot. I worked on it a lot.
Right now, paper right now.
But I, you know, it's a different question than we were asking back in those days. And so it'd be one of those. If I had my brothers, I would go down to Erding or model.
American power.
I think we could just look at the spill patterns whenever we hit 100K is when we start blocking the north.
No, actually,
that's probably the bay opening that we need to avoid at that north.
Yeah, that'd be something you'd
we need to draw a picture here.
I'm not sure what that is, but I don't know. 4 feet, 6 feet, 8 feet.
Yeah, that's what it depends.
So then the potential for any kind of hydraulic impacts in the tail race from that kind of attraction spill with any kind of eddies or confusion going on inside those fish into that north ladder, that would definitely be a concern at that point.
That's
why we would need to talk to Lori and stuff. But also, what about fallback? And how would we deal with that?
So many fish that can't fall back.
Large openings should be worse than small openings.
They're going to get pushed forward.
End up fighting several different things.
Yeah, so then you're one step forward, two steps back with the amount of fallback that may be occurring. So just trying to balance.
38.
Again, that's where radius telemetry would be helpful.
Right.
400 fish.
There is from east ladder. I don't know
indications.
About
east ladder, that's usually a higher, that's in 400 spill, not at dealing with poo spill.
We don't have that many fish passing.
Oh, April is sexual assault awareness preservation control. Oh, that'd really get me in trouble.
Yeah. What's that?
I'd be asking for pictures.
What?
Yeah, that'd be a question. Take a look at the North Shore with the detectors that have used it and see how many of those
reascension
fallback rates.
Yeah, reascension.
If you even have anything, I doubt you do.
I mean, we've got the old U of I studies too. Get someone to look at in addition.
Probably so few of those fish used north ladder anyways, you might have
that's true.
Yeah.
10 fish used it and one fell back with it.
Well, when we're spilling a decent amount, fall fish behave different.
When we have 50
days
spill,
we have a decent passage. But for spring fish,
the problem we're talking about spill like
okay. Well, it's worth, I think we can look into it. There are data that would look into fallback. That's a good point, I guess. We can dig into that and see if there's something there.
Yep.
Opening wise,
that might shift our trigger up a little bit to where we know we're in a density problem before we're going to risk.
If you see something, so fall back.
Or if you change, it may change how you set up your spill patterns for you.
Yeah.
Those 400 tags for steelhead. You said they are too. They're not good for jacks because they're too small.
I think steelhead would be better. Steelhead tags would be better for fall shells.
Right.
As opposed to the tags they use for jacks.
Okay.
It's fairly easy to put a casing over
that's
that.
That's what I was
saying.
You can put a thick surgical tubing over on that.
Electrical tape.
We used to do that.
Yeah.
Shrink tape stuff, basically. Just detend it on until
it's
built
big enough.
Yeah, so. I mean, regardless what happens, can we get any more tags, you think, is one question I'd kind
of
like to know.
Out of the jacks?
And maybe pay a little bit more money out there.
You could do the one thing is take the money that you've done for the analysis of the study, do like we're doing with Canary, pay to get the data, and then pay 15 to have the analysis done. So your analysis would lag some, but it might give you a little more money to do a little more work ahead of time. And then say, so that's how we're cheating it in McNary to get the juvenile stuff is. We're paying a little more, like we're going to collect the data, but we're not going to analyze the data until later, or we're going to have BPA fund it. So you might be able to take some of the analysis money and put it towards tags. And then just we'll have to argue in SET about, hey, let's do an analysis in 2015 on that data. It's cheesy, but it might get you a few more tags.
Take us 10 years to get the data reviewed.
That's the master plan.
Collect all the data you want.
The runs have crashed. Nobody will care anymore.
You'll never hit that trigger again. So well, the next steps here is, like, I think we all agree that we need to do something. We need to develop some kind of biological trigger. If it's not the 25 at Bonneville, keep your eyes on the ladders, and maybe you make the call saying, oh, it's time.
I would
using some RT data on delay, and then the big question is, where does the BPA come in on spill? I know Scott was concerned about it, and he would. Well, he said he wanted to have a study in place. He wanted to have a study design so he could sell it and say, "This is what we plan on doing."
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't hear Scott. I mean, when I mentioned it up at McNary at the last meeting, he didn't just, as he often does, say, "I had a way in hell." Or, some
what'd you do to him, Gary?
He was.
It's amazing what a lead pipe can do.
He was actually interested. He needs
something to sell.
Yeah.
He can't just say spill it.
I think it's the quantity that would need to be discussed.
Plus, it's not going to look good for any of us, action agencies or the fish agencies, if we're killing fish in the bounds because of the crowding or just stalling.
Yeah. Like they've been saying, it's a good problem to have. Right?
Yeah, it's a good problem to have, but it costs. To resolve just because of the way the dowels are set up, something we've never really run into before. So.
Keep in mind, too, there's steelhead in there with all those
falls.
Falls in there. A lot of bead around steelhead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to slow them down. I want them to turn on the issues.
Yeah.
So. Transporting keep track of to dos of things that we need to fill
up. Yeah, I think we need to make a little laundry list how.
Tag's doing that, isn't
she?
Well, you got some notes? Well, the tag, and can we expand on the study is one thing.
Can you get
open that up?
And then how much more is it going to cost? Are they planning on putting stuff, RT gear, in the dowels north?
Dowels is already wired.
It is, okay.
But the thing is, we're talking about
you could add more.
The choke points would be the question. Yeah, choke points.
He's the part of tissue now.
Choke points and the entering the tailways, right?
Yep. That's
And would this be like a two-week study if we were to do a block study?
Delay in the whole area, too.
Well, that's
right.
Because you probably want to have a normal section of ladder versus the choke points and stuff. That's something that I have
to talk about. Maybe catch a day at that, 50 to 60 or
Okay, so we want to get Chris involved. And
Are we able to make real-time decisions RT fish, because we've done it before.
No.
We've done it at John Day where they see, I remember them pointing out, you got something seriously wrong right here.
If it was bad,
If it's like, all the breeder tick fish we've lost all detection. We haven't got detection in like 2 weeks. That's right. Probably something they do with that.
Not the analysis type of thing. Yeah. We have to be a gross problem.
So why aren't we considering pit for the ratios? It just seems like it'd be higher precision. I know RT would kind of supplement that, but pit would give us those proportion changes, I think,
We have pit in the ladder.
Yeah, we should be using
Well, they do in the east, and
they should have pit in both ladders?
Yeah. There
you go. Now we do. Yeah.
Both count stations, we added those little thin wall ones.
Yeah, we should use all the data.
Yeah.
They're doing awesome, too. 100% almost.
So we need to, somebody needs to work through the trigger issue. I mean, right now I propose the Bonneville trigger just because
it's what we got.
We adopted it. It's in the Fish Passage Plan, and I'd say it's probably maybe a little.
But what do we need a trigger for this year? I mean, if we're going to do a block design test, you just do the block design test.
We have a study trigger. It's a totally different trigger. Starting when do we start the study? That's our question. No, I think Gary was talking about a management trigger. But I think for this meeting, we do need to have when do we start the study type trigger.
The sooner the better. Yeah. You know, so they like September 1 to get the most replicates, and either through the end of September or the end of October.
Are we good? Yeah. Are we going to do a test, or do we need a trigger?
This is what you typically see over the last 15 years. And you get a period from about the start of September to the end of, almost the end, a week before the end of September, where you're above 20K on average.
Yeah.
Going past the Dallas ladder. So that includes those high runs of the 2000, 2001, too.
Okay.
There's an actual count?
Just the north ladder then, I guess?
That's the total project passage.
Yeah. And that's what Bonneville's is based on, is the total project passage, it's not just one.
So we just won't shut off spill at the valve, is that cool?
Yeah. we'll just wrap it down.
Get Scott's stamp back.
All about spill, right? I call this job security.
That's only
I don't know if I want this job.
Job security.
Yeah, I think from a BPA perspective, definite. We're supportive of a test. However, the spill amount, we would have to discuss.
Right, sure. Okay, so really then the trigger itself doesn't have to be worked out until another year, I guess.
Right, but when we start the study does, and, you know, when do we start to spill for the test?
Right.
So
when we're hitting the 25 split at Bonneville, that's probably the biological trigger for this study to start.
To start the study?
If it's not.
You're already in there.
Yeah, if it's.
And you're going to have like five replicates then. You know, it's not. You're not going to have any statistical thing to tell you there. I mean, it doesn't hurt to even have low numbers.
Right.
Relatively low.
You're still just looking at getting fish to move over there. Maybe it's the intended issue there. I don't know.
So it's a 2 week.
It could be. And we might even be able to see that, at least have indications.
Well, you could run it. You could run September and October. I mean,
that's true.
Do the whole
year round.
I think year round is like. I mean, not the way to go. Not the way to go.
If I had my druthers, I'd say September through October. If amount of spill became an issue or stuff, you know. Definitely through the whole month of September is what we need to look at in my mind.
We'd have to see what exactly is being proposed. That sounds like a hard sell for the whole month of September.
That would be the...
Well, it'd be off and on, so it'd only be half the days, right?
True. You're starting 4 o'clock. You're starting 15 days.
Whatever it was.
Well, I threw out that 4 o'clock. I like 1600, but
you probably want to do an hour before daylight.
It was well,
that's
why 4 o'clock.
That's pretty good.
Well, but it's just September.
It's 2 hours.
No, the sunrise is 5 o'clock. I wish it was.
That wasn't my point. I was trying to get out further than that. I mean, it really probably ought to be 24 hours.
Oh, it is. I'm just saying if we have to cut that.
I'm just saying 24 hours.
It should be.
So that's why I'm realistic. All 400 instead of 5, because
I think it's more important to get that early.
Get that early.
Get the cue.
Fish pointed in the right direction. I don't know that that's enough. You know, that concerns me a bit. But so I threw that out. That's the question. You know, should it be 24 hours or should it be what I threw out?
24 is your best option.
Yeah.
24.
Or could it be less?
Well, you could probably get away.
I mean, I'm thinking 48 for staging. You know, it's just like you want to pull this fish in. And 24, they may have already staged.
I say 24 hours a day.
On the opposite side.
He's talking 24 hours a day. You're talking block size.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. 2 days.
You have to remember that your block size.
2 or 3 days at least.
Okay.
Your block size is 12 hours, 0, 12 hours. I mean, your block, that's what we're looking at here. So that 0 does bother me a little bit. And that, you know, all of a sudden, the cue's gone. Now what? Then the cue's back again. I don't know what that's going to do.
You don't have to do a 2 day block or something crazy.
Yeah, but I'm still thinking that the daily.
I know.
Within the day, within that 24 hours, is that a good idea to shut it off for 12 hours? I'm just going from the biology here.
Maybe get 16 and shut off for 8 if you had to shut off. Shut off around 8.
Well, we can just try it this way and see what happens, you know, because. I'm going to say no otherwise.
But you better make sure you do your best test you can and not half-ass it.
I'll let you do 24 hours.
The other thing is the spill pattern. Is there any trip Zurich where somebody can go down and get the dowels running and look at something?
The next one.
Some kind of pattern?
Trips have dried up.
I know, I've noticed that. The lower granite. Oh, wait a minute. That one.
Yes, that's a problem, and I think it's really important to do that. There is one scheduled for mid-July for ice harbor turbines.
Oh, this time of visit.
But, unfortunately, I have a wedding.
Better than July or August.
One week out of the year that I have to be somewhere, they scheduled that trip. There's talk of having a trip to look at the Bonneville turbines, maybe later. That would be later
is what. Right, it's going to be before August.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get this done in July if we can set it up. But you're going to have to get people down there.
Oh.
Oh, and have money. I can get there. I can get there out now.
Go to meeting with the videotape?
When's the last time you were here? The Dalles physical model.
Yeah, I can't remember.
All right. Years. There we go. There's a good reason.
For the wall?
5 years.
Get you down there.
You want to do wall verification?
Yeah, probably longer than that.
I think we're timed. Last time we're timed, watered up. It's probably last time anyone's been there.
Yeah, it's been more time. Yeah,
the hand of God.
And after that, he went off to
Afghanistan. He became the mullah of Afghanistan.
So, who usually gets the model trips coordinated? Is it Lori?
Yeah, Lori would be the person to talk to. Glenn Davis is your British guy on that one, and he's working. I know he's working on the Lord Granite model too, so that's kind of easy.
Trevor, did they ever schedule a backup to look at Lord Granite outfall?
They haven't. They don't have it set up yet, so no.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think they ever will. It's not like they're just going to have to chisel that one out.
I think they delayed it for a year is what they decided.
Did they finally?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, that's the
you gonna talk to Lori? You want me to?
Is it an O&M funded deal? How does all that work?
Yeah.
I think you might as well then.
Unless we can tag it on to your research.
I wonder how important MoMA is really on this one.
It's
since we have all that information.
We never looked at that particular.
The problem is we never looked at like low flow, like try like a couple big openings versus something
small.
We
weren't looking at attraction. We were looking at how to slow it down, not speed it up. It was the opposite.
Yeah.
We're looking for like egress and that kind of stuff for a tail race. We weren't talking about like, hey, how do we get if an adult's coming there?
What's the cost of a model trip versus CFD model run?
You don't have a CFD model.
Not for tail race.
That model's sitting there.
Right.
It costs you whatever. I mean, the tickets to Jackson, Mississippi, at least a month ago, were about $325, $321 round trip. So, CFD?
I'll coordinate it. No. Yeah, I know. That's why I said that. I'll get a hold of Lori.
Yeah. That's pretty cheap.
No, I think it's.
And plus,
it's
I'd
well
be
worth
going
it.
Down there on Walla Walla this morning, so.
Alright, so who else is going to Walla Walla's money that time? You?
Yeah. I'm not in the Sherman group. I'm the back cool.
Yeah,
be the other one
if you want.
Okay. So you'd be there. Yeah, I think we can probably get a handful of people there to look at.
Yeah, because you guys didn't give us any dollars for travel to Riddick this year, so it doesn't. Plus, they've done some stupid things and thoroughly and decided that all of our money comes from the Corps of Engineers goes against our own best
camp. Awesome.
Stupid. So I'll probably fly down there on my own time.
You just want to go look at birds?
No, not in July. But I do have lots
of. So what time in July is that ice, or the turbine?
The model trip is floating a bit. It was supposed to be this week after the 4th of July.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be early. So that next week, and now I think it's going to be maybe 2 weeks after.
Oh, you're pushing back again.
Yeah.
Oh, man, in July and not in Vicksburg. That'd
yeah,
be.
The end of July.
Push back because
the catfish don't even
that weekend,
enjoy that weather.
Vicksburg, end of July.
That's
no, well,
no,
there's
not
there's
this July, time. End of July, August.
The 20th, the 14th to the 19th. So week of the 14th is the third week in July.
This is all 3 weeks or something.
Yeah,
that's doable.
It's usually fall, late October.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that when you come back from there, you know what you got.
Right.
There's no analysis.
You're still alive.
Right.
So it can be done in August. No one would feel so
wrong. It's like July. Honestly,
one day.
You're talking about low flow.
That's just like 1 or 2 days.
Yeah, you're looking at low
2 days.
You're basically looking at flow, so you're just changing spill.
A couple days, 2 days max. One day, but there'll be one day where nothing will work right.
So right, set up.
And then also, I mean, like the one day you always look at something like, oh, put this in it, you might need like
powerhouse house.
The thing hasn't been run for so long, it's like, oh,
that's not right.
Turn the valve.
It doesn't have the. It doesn't have the.
moccasins.
Does it have the spill wall in it?
Yes.
Everything's there.
Okay,
all
so that's
going to the 14th or the
21st?
Yeah,
she's 14th.
Huh? Yeah.
When was the last time you did
that? Me? I was in Vicksburg so 10 years ago.
10 years?
No, wait a minute. They ran this.
Squirting thing. Everywhere. I was so sick. I had the runs.
So got to
ask. Keep that for 10 years.
Yeah. So I never want to go back. All that.
Was it mayhem?
It was mayhem. Don't you, I think Gary remembers that. Remember the first time I went to Vicksburg and I had the runs and I was like running from one bathroom to another bathroom?
That's almost as good as Word Hyper went down there and got
I knew every bathroom on that post. Oh, yeah, and I was just like, oh, God.
Did you eat at Waffle House or something?
No.
It's a pretty common thing. The Waffle House is safe.
I don't know what it was. I think it was just the...
it's just Mississippi.
Just Mississippi and the adjustment. I think that
was. Well, when Word Hyper got dehydration, that was awesome. He's like vomiting all over the place. Oh,
God. Sure. All right, so I think we can pretty much wrap this up and okay, reconvene. So we kind of have a good idea. We've got a list of things to do. Everybody's kind of got, I think you need to think about the study design a little
bit
more.
Well, yeah, and I will. I'm thinking a progressive thing. It kind of depends on what DP is willing to allow. But, you know, if you get down to just some trigger level, and that's all you want to look at, you really got to consider, do you want to break that up into a block design test, or do you just want to flat out run it at that time period and compare previous years?
Right. Yeah.
You're not going to have statistics to help you there.
Yeah, well, the problem is the block size. I just don't think you're going to get no loss. You only got 400 tags anyways, and you're going to start out some blocks.
Seriously, if you're down to a two-week period, I would say just
do it. PPAs, go back to shopping
for as many daylight hours.
Find out what their flexibility is.
Because, I mean, you have enough years past, we've seen what's going on.
I think, you know, maybe so.
I'm going to talk to Lori about
the only funny thing about it is like the whole thing, it hovers around like 15 feet in the center.
I'm going to talk to Lori about the physical model trip.
Yeah, it'll be like right there.
We're just going to talk to Caudell about the tags. We're going to, I'll also look into funding, maybe if he can expand the tags.
Get a few more tags from that.
And who do I talk to make sure the model trips are in the same week type of thing? Is that Lori as well? She do at least?
No,
well, who's Martin Allman's the one
Martin?
In charge of the...
Okay, so I'll call Martin and find out if that's been nailed down and then...
Yeah, so as of last week it wasn't, so...
And...
Oh,
you can't do just one.
No, I see.
Going in for some more peeps.
That's what I was
called. Do it.
No, God, no. That's just too much marshmallow all the time. Yeah. After a Coke, it's a little much.
All right, so I think we've got to get a hold of Bob Davis as well. I'll have Lori talk to Bob Davis about what it takes to get that model ready to go.
They're not.
That's Glenn. I don't know
who that is. Glenn.
Yeah.
Glenn Bob.
I don't care for the marshmallows.
As you, Matt, still around.
All right, and you need to just make sure you go to this model trip. Yeah.
We love
to go on a model trip.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
He's sending you down, not himself. First of all, I ain't going. I'm sending you.
Yeah, I've got bad experiences there. Nightmares.
Well, you like that one that Seaford Place went.
I think the best is when I went and got the catfish from the guy.
Oh, that was sketchy.
Oh, my God. He ripped the skin off it and put on that nasty, rusty old Langsley knife in there. That was pretty good. Like, you want a channel cat, or you want a pond cat, or a river cat? What do you got?
What's better?
We grilled it. We grilled it at the
battlefield.
The battlefield, and the guys there were just laughing at us. You don't eat catfish that way. You fool.
I'm going, no. We're going to cook this really well.
Yeah. Drinking a beet of beer. I think that's the thing. Turbo dog. I can't even drink one of those now because I got so sick from that. All right, it's a wrap, unless anybody else has anything they want to add.
No, I think we're good. 2:00 would be the good.